And welcome back to Harry Potter and the Reread Podcast. I'm your host, David Jansen, joined as always with my co-host, Kyle Jens. Kyle, how are you?
I'm good. We should have our party hats on.
We should, because today is our 100th episode of Harry Potter and the Reread Podcast. You need to put some of that march in here. I think just get the march going.
That's it.
My boy. Yeah, maybe don't put that part in, but that's okay. We're here talking. It is a celebration. We're celebrating a bunch of things. Number one, we're celebrating 100 episodes. That's pretty good.
That's cool.
Number two, we're celebrating. We are almost done this book. Second last chapter, and this chapter is, of course, we mentioned this last time, Dumbledore and Harry sort shit out. That's what's happening here. We are going to get some things tied up, and we are going to... basically this chapter, we sort out all the loose ends, like you said we would. And the next chapter, we just kind of wrap up and set up. So there's
We're coasting to the finish line right now.
We'll talk about this more next week, so I don't really want to get into it, but what weird pacing of this book.
I know.
But that's okay, because here we are, finally getting some answers in chapter 37, The Lost Prophecy.
And you really drew the short end of the stick here, because I did last week's recap, which was super short and action-oriented. You've got a lot of shit to cover.
Yeah, and we'll see how much of it I just didn't recap. So there's lots in this chapter. If you literally just want to understand what happened in this book, you don't want to read all whatever, how many pages is this book? 700 and something pages. Just read this chapter. Read the last chapter because it was fun. And then read this chapter to get all the answers.
Yeah.
So I'll take you through it. Harry is back in Dumbledore's office, awaiting Dumbledore, and he is now blaming himself fully for Sirius's death. He realized that the statement Hermione had made, he always has to play the hero, that's a true statement. And just like she predicted, Voldemort used that against him. So he's basically wallowing. Well, not really wallowing. He's angry. He's angry, mad. And Dumbledore returns to Fudge, and he tells Harry, all of your friends are fine, which is not a thought that had crossed Harry's mind to this point. And he starts to tell Harry that he knows how he feels, but Harry does not accept that statement, and he loses it. He basically just self-implodes. He yells. He breaks things. He cannot control his grief. Dumbledore remains pretty calm. He just won't let Harry leave the office. And then he goes on to explain that Harry shouldn't blame himself, because Dumbledore, he's going to blame himself for Sirius's death, because if he had been open with Harry, Harry never would have gone to the Department of Mysteries. He explains how he knew of the connection between the mines and Voldemort, and that the reason he had Snape tell Harry about the connection and the occlumency is that Dumbledore was afraid that if he told him, and Voldemort was able to be there at that time, Voldemort would do exactly what he did last chapter and possess Harry and use him as a spy. And so the distance that Voldemort had done to put himself between Harry this year was actually done to protect Harry. But he didn't, it didn't work the way Dumbledore had hoped. Harry admitted that he didn't really go through the proper efforts of learning occlumency. And he told Dumbledore that, hey, before we went there, we did try to reach out to Sirius. And Dumbledore tells him that Creature lied to him. Harry was not Creature's master. There was no oath doing there. And Creature, in fact, had been in contact with Narcissa Malfoy, passing along all the details that Sirius didn't expressly forbid him from passing, which were mostly about the Sirius-Harry relationship, which allowed Voldemort to come up with this plan. And, maybe Sirius should have been nicer to the house elf and we could have avoided this, but, Harry doesn't want to hear that. They argue for a while about Sirius and Snape, Sirius's treatment of the elf, Snape's treatment of Harry. Dumbledore tells Harry that Snape did pass his message along. He couldn't react, because what was he going to do in front of Umbridge? But Snape went there. He sent a communique to the Order. The Order was all going to help them. Sirius was initially supposed to stay behind, but he didn't want to, so he made Creature stay behind and convey all this info into into Dumbledore, and Dumbledore admits he kind of had to break into Creature's mind to get all the final details. So the breaking point of their argument about Sirius and Snape is Harry is mad that Dumbledore kept Sirius locked up in Gribbled Place the same way that he kept Harry locked up at Privet Drive. And then Dumbledore has to explain basically his 15 years worth of planning. So the keys of the plan are Harry has to be kept alive. And that's why he went to the Dursleys, even though Dumbledore knew it was going to be horrible for him. It was too dangerous for him to stay in the Wizarding World. But on top of that, the mother dying for love protection that we've seen save Harry in the past, that was amplified and kept going by him calling home a place where his mother's blood is. So basically, because he was going home to where Aunt Petunia was, we were getting that spell, charm, whatever. It was extending its life. So he just has to go there once a year to renew the protections. So that's why he's being kept in Privet Drive. That's why he had to live there, up there. That's how Harry was going to get kept alive. So that happens, 10 years, boom, Harry arrives at Hogwarts. And now Harry keeps facing off against Voldemort. And the first time he faced off, he asked Dumbledore how come he couldn't touch him. And he sort of explains part of the love protection, but not all of it. And he keeps facing off against Voldemort. But Harry, or but Dumbledore and Harry had grown too close, and Dumbledore didn't want to reveal all this info to him at this point because he doesn't want to burden Harry with the prophecy. Now, prophecy is broken, but it doesn't matter because Dumbledore was there when the prophecy was prophesied. So he recounts how he was interviewing Trelawney for the job, and he was disappointed because it was clear she didn't have the gift. And then just as he was about to dismiss her, she kind of went into a trance and goes on with all the with the prophecy, which basically boils down to somebody has just been born who has the chance to defeat Voldemort. The parents of the person have defied Voldemort three times. Voldemort will mark this person. And so at the time, there are two options. Could have been Harry, it could have been Neville. But the prophecy becomes about Harry because Voldemort chose it to be Harry. He goes, tries to kill him, we get the scar, now he's marked, now the prophecy is pretty much fulfilled. Voldemort, however, didn't hear the full prophecy. So he didn't really know what he was getting himself into when he went to attack Harry. Had he heard the full prophecy, he probably just waits it out, sees what's going on, but he didn't. So we learn the final lines of the prophecy are neither can live while the other survives. So one of them is going to have to kill the other. And by the end of this chapter, you got a single, maybe a couple tears slowly coming down Dumbledore's face, where he just tells Harry, also, like, I didn't make you a prefect because you might have had a bit too much going on, like trying to just sort of explain all of his decisions out. And that's a very, very high level summary of what happened in this chapter.
This is a very detailed chapter. I feel like if you had to encapsulate what the entire series is about, or had one chapter to showcase to someone new to Harry Potter, or like to give them a summary, this is the chapter. This is the most in chap important chapter of the entire series so
To this
far
point, it didn't matter
to
how
this
much
point.
attention you were paying, or if you read this chapter closely, you would be well caught up with what's going on. So the only real thing to talk about for this chapter is let's review the decisions Dumbledore made and see if they were good or not, right? Kind of think they haven't been great. So the first decision he made is he left Harry with the Dursleys. Now, the good part about leaving Harry with the Dursleys, we get the spell extended. Harry's alive, so that counts.
And
But man,
even in points where he almost got kicked out of the house earlier this book. Another thing that I forgot happened, Petunia receives a howler, which is, we reveal, Dumbledore sent because he had informed Petunia of why it was important to keep him there this entire time too. So it's successful in that sense. Like, it's not, it just.
It is successful. It's unfortunate for Harry that it had to be that way because he does not have a good time there.
It's unfortunate, but just because it's inconvenient or not nice for Harry, sometimes that's the path that you have to
Now,
take.
inconvenient and not nice for Harry doesn't feel like a fair description of the first 10 years of Harry's life.
The child abuse thing.
But that's okay. That's okay. We can, it worked. And Harry ended up okay. So it's not quite water under the bridge, but we're going to have to let it go like it's water under the bridge. So then the next decision he makes is not choosing not to tell Harry about the prophecy.
Yes, he
I think
delays it
this,
a few years.
yeah. And I think that's okay. Like 11-year-old Harry, does he need to know the prophecy? I
No.
don't think so.
He's still,
After,
at this point, he's coming to terms with being a wizard and what the wizarding
yeah.
world is all about.
I think basically like years 1 to 4, like he doesn't need to know.
I disagree. I think he should have known by the third book. I think at age 13, I know he had just met Sirius and like was, I think that was Dumbledore's reasoning, being like, oh, he just found out he had a godfather and I didn't want to put that news on him. I think you had to at that point. I think he was old enough to understand what was going on at that point and kind of the dangers of what would be happening. And I think earlier the better. Yes, I know Dumbledore almost sees him as like a surrogate son almost. Like he truly cares about him, which we see in this chapter. And he wanted to protect him from that. But he had to know at some point. And I feel like maybe also that's just because, like, I think of like when you think of the tone shift of when you're reading the books as well, how number three is where it kind of starts to get a little bit darker. I feel like that would have been an ideal place for him or an ideal age to drop this knowledge.
I don't really disagree there. I think there could have been some benefit of telling him after they rescue Sirius, for sure, at the end of the third book. I also think, like, at that point, Voldemort's not back. So maybe you justify it. But to me, there's two. Voldemort's back now after Cedric is gone. He's sending Harry back to
Privet Drive.
Privet Drive. And now he's using that. Well, it's too late. I don't want him to like write it down. I don't know what to tell him. It doesn't really feel like he's going out and gonna extract memories out of Harry's head. That doesn't really feel like where they're at. So Cedric's died, Voldemort's back. That's a good opportunity to explain more. Maybe not everything, but more. Then we get the point where Arthur is attacked and he needs to learn Occlumency. This is like, if we hadn't done it to there, we need to do it now. And he kind of goes with the Occlumency part, but they don't really explain it to him why he needs to. And like, he tells him like he should have been the one to teach him Occlumency much better than Snape because of, Snape and Harry's relationship.
Well,
Like that to
he
me.
underestimated Snape's reaction and hatred for James and how that was really going to interfere with this being a productive plan.
And so this is a big problem for Dumbledore here is he just didn't want to tell it to him, and so he just kept finding excuses not to.
And it's one of those things where it's like ripping off a band-aid,
It
right?
is,
Like
it
you just got to
is.
kind of do it. And you got to
And
do it soon because if you wait till it's too late, a la right here.
every time, like, it would have been better to do it before Voldemort came back because then he could have started like Occlumency earlier. So basically, the best time for him to have told Harry this was in the past. The next best time was every time he could have told him after that, right? Like, this is one of those things where you're right. You ripped the band-aid off. Maybe we don't have Sirius dying here. The other thing I kind of want to talk about is he didn't come up with a good solution for Sirius. The like he like even admits that he knows keeping Sirius locked up was a bad idea. And he kind of like he's like I subtly hinted to Sirius about the risk of creature. No, he should have been much more clear about the risks of creature, and they should have worked together to come up with a better plan. Option number one was, I don't want to say this, well, I'm going to say it, but creature didn't want to be there. He just wanted to be his head decapitated.
Just a Avada Kedavra.
No, just cut his head off. It's fine.
Or that.
But like, there could have been a better solution, and they could have dealt with it immediately. Like, not, oh, you've been back here for a month. Turns out, creature, like, no. This is a house elf who's devoted to the Black family. Sirius is not the Black family.
He's a liability.
This is never going to work. Get the house elf up. Get the house elf out of here. He doesn't have to be killed. Let's just get him out of here.
Yeah, I mean, Dumbledore was hesitant.
Before there was a ch before they even made it the headquarters.
Yeah, he was hesitant about that being the location of the headquarters in the first place, knowing that this liability and this connection was going to be there. I mean, that combined with, and it wasn't even, I think there's an interesting part here where Dumbledore talks about like hate and disinterest were two different things, and like Snape, Black, Sirius Black didn't even hate
No,
creature. He
he
was
didn't.
just so disinterested in him and brushed him off, and that's where he was able to sneak under the radar.
That's fully it. Any other of the decision? Were there any other decisions Dumbledore kind of? Oh, let's talk about the not. Let's talk about the prefect thing. First, let's talk about the decision to not make Harry a prefect. I don't even think it was a bad decision before he explained his logic. Harry does not follow rules.
Should Ron have been
Harry,
prefect? I don't know, but yeah.
no, it should have been friggin' like Neville. But that's fine. I mean, Neville probably wouldn't have wanted that added stress to his
That
life. But
exactly.
yeah, I don't think you need to defend that decision. But I also think that was not the time to explain that one. Oh, such bad timing. Here's a really emotional thing about your godfather, about your parents, about your Voldemort connection. Also, like, don't worry that I didn't make you prefect. I don't think Harry was worried about that at the time.
And that's the part that makes him cry at the end. That
Well, I think
I think he was emotional throughout the whole
I
thing.
think he certainly was, like, the way he just is calm and is just sort of like he's trying to keep Harry calm so he acts calm, but I think you can read the subtext on why he does feel the guilt of Sirius dying. And he now has to recount every decision he's made over the last 15 years, how it got to here. And he's basically admitting all of, like, he doesn't talk about any of the decisions he made that went well. He only talks about the ones that had downsides to them.
He owns it, which I
He
think is
does.
also a good quality of leadership, like not passing along the blame. However, there is a lot of blame to kind of pass around. It's almost a comedy of errors, like Dumbledore not telling Harry sooner, Sirius kind of charging into a battle that he had no business being part of,
Like worse,
Harry
like
also charging into a situation
yeah.
he shouldn't have. Like
Like
there were a lot of things that happened for
Sirius
this to
going to the
occur.
battle, everyone told him to stay behind. He didn't. So let's say he goes and doesn't die. Let's say Voldemort doesn't show up. Now they just arrest Sirius Black.
Exactly. Like it wasn't going to work out well for any of them. So it was numerous things that led to this, but Dumbledore is wise enough to know where he made these mistakes and how what he could have done that would have been different. That's a lot of the conversation, I think, regarding his decisions. We learn, of course, yeah, this is the entire reason why he decides, I guess, to act aloof towards Harry the entire time, which just pisses Harry off more than
Yeah,
anything.
again, that was maybe a decision we should have talked about. Did it make sense to not? I think probably it did, but I think the decision to put Snape in charge of the Occlumency, I mean, that clearly backfired as well. And he should have been explaining some of these things. Even if he just said to him, I'm going to avoid you because of this, you need to learn from Snape. I think it just would have gone a long way. Then the other thing that we got out of this chapter is the actual prophecy. Perhaps I should read the actual prophecy
just for context.
Just for context. Hold on. The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches, born to those who have thrice defied him, born as the seventh month dies. And the Dark Lord will mark him as his equal, but he will have power the Dark Lord knows not, and either must die at the hand of the other, for neither can live while the other survives. The one with the power to vanquish... Oh, then it just...
It repeats
itself, yeah. I mean, we can break it down. Let's break it down kind of line by line here. The one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches. I think that's pretty
self-explanatory.
Born to those who have thrice defied him. So you got people who are escaping Voldemort. So we learn Longbottoms and the Potters have both encountered Voldemort this. and got out of there three times.
And then had sons that were born or as children.
At the end of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we have Neville and Harry are both born. Then we have some interesting stuff. The Dark Lord will mark him as his equal. This is part... So I think...
this is the part that Dumbledore... Or that
Voldemort so doesn't
it was,
hear.
Voldemort doesn't hear. It was right. Overheard Voldemort, within the Hogshead, but they only hear that first part.
Right. So Voldemort knows someone has been born to either of these families at the end of the month, and they can defeat him. He does not know that the Dark Lord will mark him as his equal. Interesting. We get that from the scarring, mm-hmm. from the attack. And he will have the power the Dark Lord knows not.
Which is the love.
Which is the love protection.
Yeah.
For sure. And then either must die at the hand of the other, for neither can live while the other survives. Also not passed along, but basically for this to end, one of them will have to kill the other.
Yeah. So I find that interesting because then also the prophecy, the first line repeats itself. So the one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord will be born as the seventh month dies. I think whoever heard it must have heard that last line and maybe that was it, or thought maybe that was it.
Well, could be.
That's kind of my thought anyway. Anyway, it leaves it up to essentially being Harry.
And it explains why Voldemort didn't, or why Dumbledore didn't try and kill Voldemort really the last chapter at all.
Yeah.
Because he knows it won't matter.
It won't matter because he knows that Harry has to be the one to do it. He's also pretty aware of the Horcruxes at this point.
Is he?
I think so.
I think he's. He is because of the diary.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, that's really what we went through. The chapter there. What we thought was going to happen was you said we were going to tie up loose ends, and we did. We learned about why Harry. We learned about the prophecy. We learned about neither living while the other one does. We learned about kind of why Harry lived the first time. We recap that, why he lived through it. We get the why he had to go back to Privet Drive, why mm-hmm. Dumbledore stayed away. We get all those, which was one of the ones I said that we'd finally figure out what Dumbledore's thought process was this book. I told you that he'll tell Harry that he heard the prophecy from Snape, who heard it from Trelawney, which was wrong. Dumbledore was the firsthand recipient. I think the person in the Hogshead who heard the prophecy and told Voldemort, I believe that is Snape.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly now, Snape knows only the first part of it, goes to Dumbledore or goes to Voldemort trying to get him to go after the Longbottoms or to go after the Potters but leave Lily. And then when he doesn't, that's what turns Snape against Voldemort. That's my memory kicking in for that. I didn't really have any other predictions on top of that. Oh, I said Harry was going to be upset, and he was pretty upset.
Yep, he was breaking shit.
Yeah,
he was throwing stuff around and having a little bit of a tantrum.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Snape part, and that just it leads me to have a question for you, which you may have answered here. Because it would make sense that Snape would be trying to convince Voldemort to go after Neville, I guess, to avoid Lily. Mm-hmm. But like, why? Essentially, in the prophecy, Dumbledore has the choice. By the sound of it, he could either pick Neville or Harry, and I think pretty much whichever one he picked was the one that would the prophecy would be
Be
about,
about,
kind of.
yeah.
Why? And there's a part where it says he went after the half-blood like himself. Why would he go instead of the pure blood? Why would he go after the half-blood instead? Like, why would he go after Harry and because he's half-blood instead of Neville because he's pure blood?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably a subconscious decision. I think he probably looked at the two sets of wizarding parents and was like,
The half blood half.
I feel better about going after the Potters than the Longbottoms, maybe for the ways we don't know in which they escaped.
Maybe because they were a half blood themselves or something
Could
like
also
that.
be that Snape took it to him and said, we should go after the Longbottoms, so he went the other way. Like we don't really
We
know.
don't know yet.
I think it's more coincidence than outright choice. Like they're both just babies. They haven't shown anything that Voldemort could see. Like I think that's just it's just more interesting than it is, I think, intuitive or intelligent around the piece. Is there anything in this chapter recap here that you had forgotten?
No, like this is such a crucial chapter to the entire series. It's the premise,
It's the premise
essentially.
of it's basically a recap of the books to now filling in some blanks. I agree. There wasn't really anything here. There was like the misremembery of how the prophecy got to Dumbledore, but that's about it. As soon as I read it, I was like, oh yeah, that was wrong. That was wrong. Okay. We've talked a lot about the decisions that Dumbledore made that didn't make sense. So let's not necessarily go through with those. But that's the only thing that I really have that doesn't make sense is some of his choices here. Okay, I guess there's one I want to talk about is why didn't they start the occlumency lessons right away? As soon as Voldemort's back, or even sooner? Like, why not? I guess
I
maybe
think,
Dumbledore was living in a little bit of denial as well.
well, that and like, I don't think like their ability to kind of take over each other's minds or look into each other's minds. I think Dumbledore only maybe had a suspicion about it, but he didn't necessarily think that it was of importance for him to learn this because he didn't know if it would be true or not,
Well,
right? It was just a suspicion. It was only after it was confirmed when Harry saved
right.
Arthur Weasley, basically, that he was like, oh, we need to get it done.
But we
Yes,
have
I agree. It
that's
could
what
have
I'm
been
saying. That's what
prevented.
doesn't make sense to me is we had the suspicions, we had the oh my scar hurts, Dumbledore's around stuff. Why not just start teaching him occlumency then when it well, like what's the worst case scenario?
That's
He
true,
now
right?
has this
Like
skill that he doesn't need. Oh, great. Right.
it's a preventative measure,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's the only thing that really didn't make sense to me as he was going through, and he was like, 5 years ago, the mental connection was confirmed when your scar started hurting and Quirrell had Voldemort attached to him.
That's
Other than that,
I didn't really
it's
I
just
didn't have
recap.
anything to add. No.
Any other thoughts on anything from this chapter?
There's a little part where Dumbledore discusses that Voldemort fled, like he possessed Harry, but he fled rather quickly. And there's a part where he says, like, he could not bear to reside in a body that was full of love, essentially. So I think that's important going forward. I think that's the reason why he left
I
the
think
body
probably
so quickly.
without killing him. Yeah, I agree.
He can't handle love. Love is like the only. Love is the thing that destroys him because he does not know what it is,
Agreed.
essentially.
The only other thought I had here is at the very beginning, Dumbledore tells Harry he knows how he feels, and Harry's like, "No, you don't." And then initially, you might think he knows how he feels because he's blaming himself for Sirius's death. But I don't think that's the death he's remembering when he says that. I think he's talking about his sister's death, where he didn't outright cause it himself, but all the decisions he had made led to his sister dying. And he doesn't know who, which we'll talk about it. Aberforth Dumbledore, I believe, will give us the full recount of the story. But either it could have been Aberforth, it could have been Grindelwald, it could have been Albus. One of them killed the Dumbledore sister, and none of them know who it is. But all of them, well, maybe not
Blame
Grindelwald because he doesn't
themselves.
care. But the two brothers certainly they both blame themselves.
I'll
And
be
so I think that
honest, I know very little of Dumbledore's backstory. What we get into in the next two books,
it's gonna
I'm
be
going to be totally clueless
good.
About.
I didn't
know that he had a sister. So.
Yeah, I think we get that in book seven, but I think that's what he's referring to there, where he's like, you're just young and you've just made choices that you thought were good in the moment and they all blow up in your face and now you've lost someone who's your family. I think that's what he's referring to.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Quotes. What do you got?
It was just a little minor quote. Like, there was lots of stuff, but I always come back to Nigelus Black, the portrait within the headmaster. Phineas Black, yeah.
Phineas Nigelus.
Yeah. He's a black. But I have like a very distinct voice for him now after playing the Hogwarts Legacy games. Yeah. So I can just very much picture it. But I liked this line where he's like, you see, Dumbledore never try to understand the students. They hate it. They would much rather be tragically misunderstood, wallow in self-pity, stew in their own, and then gets cut off by Dumbledore. But yeah. I enjoyed that line.
Yeah. I grabbed one explaining the protection spell. While you can still call the place where your mother's blood dwells, you cannot be touched or harmed by Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't really call that place home. And I think that is going to rear itself in the next little bit. Like, in the seventh book, there's like a big leaving Privet Drive scene. And I don't know why that leaving versus leaving earlier in the summer, like, would make a difference. Maybe because the Dursleys are leaving too. But I think this is a flaw in Dumbledore's plan where I think.
Isn't there something about him? It's only until he's 17 or
maybe,
something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think
that might be the only thing.
He never called that place home though. So I think there's a logic flaw, a plot hole here.
I think it's legally his home.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. That's his legal mailing address. Yeah. Okay.
It's where his mail goes. Yeah.
Yeah. LVP.
It's hard. Can we just like not pick
you
this
can't.
Chapter?
I'm certainly not picking an MVP.
I mean, I could pick Harry for throwing shit. And...
Oh, I'm going to pick Dumbledore because I think we get a sense here of not all of his decisions came out. And here we're dealing with some of the ones that specifically backfired.
Yeah, I guess. At the same time, I mentioned it earlier, he's a leader. He follows by example or leads by example, and he owns up to his mistakes. Like
He does. But I'm still willing to put him here because he did, in fact, make them. And I think we get the confirmation of why he distanced himself from Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really ended up. I think that is the reason Sirius Black is gone here, is Dumbledore not explaining that Harry would not have gone. So
that's fair. I'm abstaining from both fine. LVP and MVP.
There's no MVP
here. No.
So next chapter, chapter 38, the second war begins. What's going to happen?
We're going to wrap things up. Harry will debrief with Hermione and Ron. There will be public news of Voldemort's return. And then they're going to say their goodbyes and kind of plan what's going to happen next year, I think. That's about all, though. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I don't think much is going to happen.
I got those basic ones. The ministry is going to confirm Voldemort's back. He's going to tell his friends about the prophecy. I think in the next chapter, some more specific ones I have is, I think Harry is going to get Grimmauld Place. Like, I think he's going to now be the legal owner.
Mm.
I think he'll still go to Privet Drive because now he knows about the protections. Yeah. He's going to, when they're packing their bags up, he's going to find the mirror that Sirius gave him.
Yes. Because that plays an important role next book.
Next book, seven.
Next book.
Yeah. And I think Fudge is going to get fired at the end of this book.
Okay.
That might not happen till the beginning of the sixth book, but I'll throw it out here now. I think Fudge is getting fired.
That's fair. He's on the chopping block now.
It's hard for him to come out and say Voldemort is back now. It's hard to walk that one back. So we'll see how long he dances around. It might be the next book, but Fudge is fired.
This and is the discussion for episode number 100.
That will wrap up our 100th episode of Harry Potter and the Reread Podcast. Thanks for sticking with us. If this is your first episode, if this is your 100th episode,
good on you.
Good on you. Yeah, we'll be available on places you find podcasts. You can check us out on the Instagram Harry Potter and the Reread Podcast. That's it.
I should just make that our intro exit.
Well, I think exit. Maybe run us out with it this week. And we will be back next week with the final chapter of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. That's not the book we read. We read a different one, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Freudian slip.
I'm David.
We were.
That's Kyle. Bye.
Bye.